And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And again, thank you to Dr. Sharon and Laurie Battaglia. That was great. On the first part of the divorce show, that was the psychological part of the divorce show. And now an old friend, someone I've known for years. I don't know how long. It's got to be at least 10 years. I'm thinking probably more like 12 to 14 years. Joe Collins, attorney. Joe, welcome.
How are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm so excited about this because, you know, divorce seems to be on the rise, and we have a complete 2 hours once a month, every third Tuesday of the month. We have psychology, the first part, legal, financial, tax issues, the second part. And I'll tell you, you guys are the best family law practice I have ever seen, and I'm a CPA, and I've seen a lot.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, we I was listening to the program before I came on, and I think it's great. You know, a lot of people, they don't get that help with their family when it comes to divorce, and it just, I think a lot of people need it. The psychological aspect of it is something that's overlooked a lot of times. They go to a lawyer, and they get legal advice, but they sometimes forget about helping themselves and getting that help. So,
yeah, that's good, and that's what I like about your firm, because you know there's stereotypes in every industry.
Yeah.
I mean, CPAs, you know, they call us accountants, or even worse, bean counters.
Bean counters.
I don't
yes.
know why they say that, but they do. And attorneys have stereotypes. You know, every industry does, but you break the mold. I mean, you have compassion. You have really heart and soul. You're fair and honest, and it's just really refreshing to know that about you, and I'm so excited to have you on there.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, maybe not everybody would say that about me, but I've got kind of a motto when I practice. I try to leave all my clients in a better position than when they came in the door.
Yeah.
You know, we see people at their worst. We don't get people in that, you know, it's not a happy, fun time for them in their life, and so you try to help them, try to make their life a little bit better.
And you definitely do that, and it's really it's great to have you on as part of the divorce show. And you're once a month, every third Tuesday, I should say, from 3 to 4, you'll have this part of the divorce show. Now, a little background. Let's give the listeners a little bit of background about yourself. You've been practicing law since what, 1997?
Yes, I have.
And that's a good amount of time, good experience.
Yeah. Sometimes in the divorce setting, it's leaps and bounds. It's kind of the learning curve is quick when you're.
Yeah.
They throw you right in. I remember my first day, I had my license. I was so excited to go to court. I wanted to go to court. Somebody walked in the door, wanted me to go to court, and I was standing in front of a judge fumbling my way through it. So
yeah, that happens. There's always a time for that first case, and you know, everyone has to learn, and on-the-job training is incredible. But now with how many, 14, 15 years experience now? That's a good amount of good experience for an attorney.
Oh, yeah, 15 years. Well, there's a lot more out there, more. My dad, who practices with me, has been doing it. Well, I'm not even sure I can count the years. He's practiced in three different states and since 94 in Arizona, so he's forgotten more law than I've ever remembered. But, you know, he likes to remind me of that on it frequently.
Well, he's a good guy, too. I know the entire firm, of course. I worked with your dad in a couple things, and yourself.
Yeah.
And John Collins, too, your younger brother, who's
yes.
been in practice now, how long? Since 2003.
Right.
So he's getting good experience himself. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. We threw him to the wolves early, too. Told him to go to court and learn. So, although it was nice to have it's nice to have somebody there to help you and kind of walk you through it. The second hearing I had, I still remember that one. Dear old dad took me, and he stood next to me and told the judge, here's my son. This is his first hearing. And the judge made a comment under his breath, all fines are paid to the clerk of the court. Let's begin. And I kept looking around, wondering, hold on, what's he talking about? So, you know, it's nice to have someone to help. And when John came in, we sent him there early, but we helped him out. And,
oh, yeah.
So.
That's so cool. Now, you're a graduate of Oklahoma City University School of Law.
Yep.
With honors.
Well, yeah.
Not bad. I like it. Member of the Arizona State Bar and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. How do you become that, a member?
Well, every court has its own membership.
Yeah.
The federal court has its own membership, so I'm also a member of the federal bar. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And basically what happens is you have to have somebody motion you in for the federal courts. About 3 weeks after I got licensed in Arizona, my dad took me down, who was a member of the federal bar, and made a motion to the judge. You had a nice little ceremony where they swear you in as a member of the federal bar. It's it's a separate privilege, a separate certificate license that you get, permission to practice before the federal courts. And the Ninth Circuit's one of them that I had to become a member to do appeals and take issues up to the Circuit Court of Appeals.
That is phenomenal. That is great stuff. And of course, the firm in itself, I mean, you have your dad, Bob
right.
Collins, and John, and yourself, Joe. Now, your dad's very interesting. He's, like you said, he's been practicing a long time, three different states. But he has an interesting history, so he brings in another element, because he was, wasn't he a detective
yeah.
for the Phoenix Police Department?
He was. Actually, he was a police sergeant for the Phoenix Police Department,
okay.
and he likes to tell a story better than I do, but he's back in the 70s, he was a police officer, and he decided he needed to get serious about life, so he went back to law school. But, you know, back in the 70s, Phoenix was kind of the Wild West, at least that's what he likes to say. And
wow.
You know, worked in the old courthouse, and that's where they had the municipal building and the jail, and actually still have a museum up there in the top floor of the old courthouse. You can go see the old jail cells up there.
So. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I would think that type of experience he brings in really enhances the firm. I mean, you've seen it on a different side, you know, from the law enforcement side. Would you say that, too? I mean, would you say that type of experience really helps you and your brother and the firm as a whole?
Oh, definitely. He's got the life experience. He's got people experience,
yeah.
which is a huge, huge deal, especially when you're trying to negotiate and talk settlement, knowing about people and how to interact with them. Also, not everybody is as honest as I like to claim to be, so having some experience with those less honest individuals in the world has a tendency to give you a little better perspective on how to deal with people. So
yeah, there's no question about it. And, you know, I was reading some of the stuff on your firm. Of course, I've known you guys for, now I think it's been like 12 years.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
At least
that long.
Very, always been impressed. But I like what you say here. I mean, you know, you can't ever guarantee the outcome of a legal problem, but you can promise competence. And you do that. And I think that's sort of cool that, because that, you know, it's hard to evaluate attorneys. It really is. I mean, it's hard to evaluate CPAs. It's hard to evaluate doctors because, you know, it's so technical. People really don't know. So sometimes they go by, just a gut feel. But I think, I mean, you guys, the way you come across, I mean, promise competence. That's important. Plus, you have a heart and a soul.
Well, yeah, that and, you know, a lot of people are referred to us. You really don't have to do a lot of advertising. And the majority of people that find attorneys get the name from a friend.
Yeah.
And that friend who's had the experience with the attorney or a CPA, it's their personality, it's their experience, it's their passion that they kind of get attached or like. I mean, I've had a lot of clients that'll come interview with me, and it's like a job interview when someone comes to talk to me.
Yeah.
And they want to know what kind of person I am and what my attitude is and the personality before they decide to hire you. I mean, it's very easy I'm sure it's the same with CPAs. Everybody can tell you what the law is. We can go read it, and I can tell you what it is. But how are you going to argue the case or prepare for the case is really the key that brings success to any particular law firm. You know, preparation is probably the most difficult part. But, you know, again, it's that personality, it's that passion, it's the ability to communicate with the client and let them know what's going on. And I always promise my clients, I'll fight for you. I can't guarantee you what the outcome is going to be, but at least you're going to be able to make the decisions and you're going to be able to, you know, fight and put your evidence on. So.
And that's how it should be. They know you're in their corner. Very, very important. And also you give legal advice in a compassionate, caring, and professional manner. That's one of your slogans. I really like that because you just don't go to an attorney, I don't think, or any professional, just for, you know, technical sophistication. I mean, you got to like the person, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so important, especially an attorney or a CPA. You know, someone that's going to be really close to that.
You're going to bear your deepest, darkest secrets to that person.
Exactly.
You know.
I think that's really critical. Why don't we take a quick break now? When we come back, we'll continue with Joe Collins from Collins and Collins LLP, a great law firm, by the way, and we'll give out contact information a little bit later. This is the Divorce Show from 2 to 3. Of course, it's Dr. Sharon talking about psychological issues from 3 to 4. It is the legal aspects, financial, tax, other areas, actually, other issues that impact one's legal implications of divorce. Stay tuned for more. We'll be right back.
If you're concerned that you are making financial decisions on information that may be incorrect or not up to date, Birenbaum and Spean can help. We are certified QuickBooks advisors. Let us review your financial data to make sure it is accurate and up to date. We can also review the setup and procedures used to avoid the costly decisions as you grow your business. Call Mitchell Spean, CPA and QuickBooks Pro Advisor at 602-266-5633 to get started.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hey, I'm Lisa Masters, single mom to two amazing boys on the spectrum and author of The Funny Side of Autism. April 20th marks the first annual Time Went On for Autism benefit at the Compound Grill in Phoenix. It will be a fun night out to benefit the Autism Society Greater Phoenix Chapter. We have a wonderful evening planned, including dinner, entertainment, silent auctions, raffles, and a copy of my latest book, The Funny Side of Autism Around the World. For ticket info, go to the calendar tab at thecompoundgrill.com. Hope to see you there.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is the Divorce Show, and it's starring the debut show of Joe Collins, part of the Divorce Show. Joe, this is great. We got a little background on you. But, you know, I want to tell the listeners, too, that your firm, Collins & Collins, specialize, but focus on family law, 60 to 70% of your business, and BK, or bankruptcy, criminal and civil, the remaining. So you, when it comes to family law, you really know yourself. That's, I mean, your stuff.
Yeah, the state bar offers a specialization. So if an attorney wants to get and advertises a specialist, they can get that certification or specialization from the bar. We haven't done that. Why, to be honest with you, I'm not sure. We haven't had a need for it. We like to kind of say we're the good old country lawyer that, you know, going to help people out. And so a lot of that family law, you know, a lot of the cases that we do, bankruptcy and otherwise, kind of spill out from the family law cases.
Yeah, and I would suspect that some of the specializations are in title only. I mean, in the substance, the way I like to look at it, you really got it down. I mean, you really know your family law, and that's what I think is more important than a title.
Well, yeah, not being certified doesn't necessarily mean you don't know what you're doing. I know a lot of people out there practice law without a specialization or certification that know just as much or more than somebody with a specialization.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. So it's good to know, and this is why it's great to have you on the Divorce Show, because you focus on family law, a big part of your practice, up to 70%. Now, let's go through some of the areas that happen in family law. And, of course, the biggest one, the one that people recognize, divorce.
Right.
And divorce is complex, I suspect, or can be complex. What are some of the issues? I mean, it's not just custody, but there's visitation and there's a division of property. Why don't you talk a little bit about what happens in a divorce?
Well, I mean, there's the termination of the marriage, which is really the easy part because Arizona is a no-fault state. But then you have to deal with dividing up all that stuff that you acquired during your marriage, all the property. And then in today's society, we have people that have been married multiple times or short-term marriages. So you deal with property that was acquired prior to marriage. And Arizona being a community property state, you have to deal with that issue. So anything acquired during marriage is community property. And then what existed prior to marriage is sole and separate. So that sometimes becomes a big issue. You know, what is it that I had before the marriage that's mine? Then there's the issues of custody and access. That's a huge issue. We all care about our kids, and we care very much. And it's very difficult to have an objective client think about custody and access when it comes to their kids. So That's a huge issue. If they got along and they didn't have any issues and all they needed to do was have an attorney fashion things, that's the easy thing, to put things in writing as to what's going to happen to the kids. But that's that's a tough one for a lot of people. You know, then you also get with the maintenance. You got child support and spousal maintenance. You know, what, you know, who's going to pay to care for the kids? And generally, the biggest problem we have in family law cases is there's not enough money to go around.
Yeah.
So, you know, those judges and especially us attorneys, a difficult time advocating for clients as to, you know, who's gonna care for the kids, because the kids, they don't have anything. They haven't done anything wrong. They don't have an axe to grind in the case. So that's a huge, huge issue, especially with emotional issues.
So let me ask you this. Is there a difference between getting physical custody and legal custody?
Yes, there is. The legal custody, and I always tell my clients, is kind of the name. What do we put on it? Is it joint or sole custody? Those are the major ones. And you'll hear a lot of different people, and I always hear them come in the office, "Oh, my friend, they've got full custody." Or, you know, I want full custody. It's okay, great. Do you even know what it means? Well, the kids are with me all the time. Well, no, that's access. So the courts have started to print out these great big posters they now put in the courtroom, and it says, you know, custody and the right to make decisions regarding the children. That's really what it is who makes the decisions. And I know people that have sole custody, and then, you know, who has the kids when is the shared physical custody is a term that's used frequently, but where the kids are when. Some states don't even use custody. They don't have joint or sole custody. They have parenting time.
Oh,
and,
really?
And Arizona's kind of gone that direction. We have custody, but then we have parenting time. But some states don't even say that. They have a parenting agreement. And the children will be with mom during these periods of time, with dad during these periods of time. And so Arizona's kind of gone in that direction. I think it's great because, you know, there's a psychological thing that people always have when it comes to a label, joint or sole custody.
Yeah. Like a win or lose. Oh, I want, right? Yeah. Do you see that?
Oh,
it's competitive.
Oh, yes. Yeah, got to have joint custody. I got to have joint custody, but they see the children less than somebody else who has, you know, a non-custodial parent. Mom's got sole custody. Dad sees the kids, you know, 32 days of the month. And in the case where they have joint custody, the guy sees them 2 days a month. So, I mean, you're mixing apples and oranges there.
But, yeah.
You know, it's a huge psychological issue. I mean, I joke around with my clients. They call it peanut butter.
Yeah.
It's not what you call it. The essence is in the detail.
Yeah.
You know?
That totally makes sense. And I suspect I like that, too, when you say parenting time. It really brings it a different connotation of the meaning. And I suspect it might take out the sting among two attorneys, because if both parties get an attorney, and I guess that is usually the case.
And
I suspect
we prefer that, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll promote the profession a little bit. But,
yeah,
you know.
Well, absolutely. But I think that it could set up a battle among the attorneys, too. If the clients have revenge and and if that's their motive, that's a tough one. In fact, let me ask you that. How do you handle that? And can you recognize it really quickly if you're representing one of the parties and they just want to go out for revenge versus solving the issue?
Oh, it's
that's got to be tough.
Oh, it's a big issue, and it's a frequent thing. You know, you get those signs where they want the children because they don't want mom to have them.
Yeah.
You know, mom doesn't work, she stays at home, or dad stays at home and doesn't work, and mom or the other parent, I want them during that period of time. Well, mom's at home, care for the kids, why do you want them?
Yeah.
Well, I just want them. I want my time.
Yeah.
Hold on
a
second.
It's like a possession, right?
Right, right. You know, we're not dividing property here. You don't get them 50% of the time because you parented the kids. You got to look at what's best for them. And so when you get a client that gets in that position, well, there's a couple of things you do. I always tell my client, look, I'll go advocate what you want me to advocate. You're going to pay for it, though.
You know?
Here's the cost of advocating. Yeah. And if the judge says you're being unreasonable, you're going to pay their attorney's fees.
Yeah.
And so
they make it real.
It's you've got to bring that. You got to bring the reality to the situation. You know, you got to have that, pardon the expression, that come to Jesus talk.
Yeah.
You got to understand what the reality is and what's going to happen when you take this course of action. And I have no problem going in and advocating what you want, but I'm telling you, and I have to be frank with my client and be honest with them, I'm going to tell you what it is that's going to happen. This is what's going to happen with this course of action. If you're going to use those kids as a possession, you may lose those kids.
Yeah.
And you may not get them in the end. And you may be relegated to 2 days a month rather than, you know, 20 days a month the judge would have been willing to give you had you not been that way.
So does that usually shock the client into some type of reality perspective and break their revenge motive? Because I think motivation is important. It's like, and you could spot it a mile away, I suspect. I mean, if someone really loves their kids and they want to do what's best versus someone that wants to use them as a pawn. That's got to drive you nuts, I bet.
Oh, it does. And that's why, to a certain extent, us as lawyers, we're trying to protect that interest of that kid.
Yeah.
The kid doesn't have an advocate. They don't have a lawyer. Sometimes they do. Sometimes courts will do that. But, you know, when you have that reality and you tell the client, look, you know, this is what's – and you have to tell them, this is what's going to happen, not only financially with the court, but this is what you're going to do to your kids.
Yeah.
You're going to hurt your children, and that someday they're going to leave and never come back. And that's – again, when you're in that divorce situation, and Dr. Sharon could probably address it as better than I could – those emotions take over, and you've got to bring that client back to the objective, you know, proper focus. And that's difficult sometimes when they're so hurt and offended because now they're in a divorce where maybe they don't think they should be or they didn't do anything wrong. Why is this happening to me? And now they want to get revenge against the spouse. And so that's really, really tough.
So what have you seen? I mean, not to get too far off the legal topics, but we are talking about real life experiences, which makes this show fascinating. Men or women, who has more revenge? Okay, maybe that's a bad question, but I'm sure you've seen it equally, I bet, because whoever gets hurt the most may have a little bit of anger issues.
That's a tough one. I've never really thought about that one.
I know, it's a good question.
That'd be interesting to see, you know, what the numbers. I mean, maybe Dr. Sharon could address it a little bit better, but
yeah.
I'd probably say it's about 50-50, to be honest with
you.
Yeah. You know the stereotypical women are more vengeful is not the case anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen, you know, women generally the stereotypical more nurturing of the children, but I've seen a lot of men that have taken that role and they've stepped up. But you know, I handle more high conflict cases than not, because if people are getting along with it relates to the kids, they don't need me. They're just going to work it out between them.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
You know, so by the time an attorney gets involved and we're in front of a judge, it's contentious.
Yeah.
There are some cases that I've handled, you know, people get along and they agree. And I'd probably say 20 or 30% of the cases with some of the issues, people, okay, they'll agree. And especially when it comes to kids. People who really love their kids are going to try to work it out. But that hate for the other spouse crops up.
It's tough. And there's probably a multitude of reasons. Maybe someone's, like, cheating.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Does that happen a lot?
Yeah, faithfulness is a huge issue. And especially, you know, people separate, but they're still married. And one starts dating because the marriage has ended emotionally, but it hasn't legally ended. And that can be difficult on kids as well. But, you know, it's – and then the other spouse finds out. Oh, yeah, there is.
That's a tough one. Wow, you got to be on your toes all the time. This is like a game show. We'll say, what's the number one reason? Is cheating one of the bigger reasons these days for divorce?
No, I wouldn't say that at all.
Really?
No, not at all. I'd say it's a smaller percentage. I think it's lack of communication or finances would be up there in the top two or three. Cheating, I'd put way down there on the reason. I think people are unfaithful because emotionally the relationship has ended,
right,
and they're still married. But I think it's sometimes they don't recognize that it's ended. And regardless of your beliefs as to when the marriage actually ends and when you should start dating and gain the relationship, I think cheating is probably up there because the relationship is emotionally ended. Somebody starts dating somebody else while they're still married.
That's tough.
Oh, and that makes it very difficult. And I think it gets to that point because of the lack of communication. Well, and the finances is another big part, but people need to talk to each other. I was listening to Dr. Sharon. I thought that date night was great.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Now, you've been married a long time.
Oh, yeah,
right?
20 years.
You have date night?
Oh, that's one of the things my dad taught me when I first got married, date night. And it was especially great because he'd pay for dinner and the night out when we first got married.
Really?
So, oh, yeah.
You got a nice dad.
Yeah.
Can he adopt me?
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Wow, that is very cool. Let's take a quick break now. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Joe Collins. Collins & Collins, a great, great law firm focusing on family law. This is The Divorce Show. We'll be right back.
If you're concerned that you are making financial decisions on information that may be incorrect or not up to date, Birnbaum and Spean can help. We are certified QuickBooks advisors. Let us review your financial data to make sure it is accurate and up to date. We can also review the setup and procedures used to avoid the costly decisions as you grow your business. Call Mitchell Speen, CPA and QuickBooks Pro Advisor at 602-266-5633 to get started.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is The Divorce Show, starring Joe Collins from Collins & Collins. We're talking about legal aspects of divorce. And also, I think we've sort of went into some psychological aspects, you know, revenge, motivation, those type of things, which is very important as a divorce attorney to know this. I wanted to ask you a question, however, Joe, about the economy. It's been really horrible, you know, for so many people the last 4 or 5 years. How has that impact? How has it impacted the divorce rate and clients? Is it accelerated divorce? Because you did mention financial issues as a big factor in divorce.
Well, I think... Let me put it this way. When it comes to the housing market, there are many people that aren't getting divorced because they can't afford to. They know that there isn't any equity.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I remember watching the Today Show a few months back, and that was one of their studies, that people were staying together because they couldn't afford to sell the house and split the equity. There was none. I think that with the economy, we've seen a lot more, you know, spousal maintenance issues that come up, alimony and child support issues that come up, people losing their jobs and can't afford to pay. Or don't pay because they've lost their jobs, and a lot of times they're despondent, so they don't go to court and address it. But I don't know that the divorce rate has gotten any higher because of the economy. I think actually it may have stayed the same. I don't know that I could say we got a lot more coming through the door than we did previously. But that's a huge issue is the real estate market, especially when it comes to dividing that house that was purchased during the marriage with the way the market's gone.
In the old days, maybe people would say, hey, I want the house, and now the other person says, you take the house because it's underwater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where courts are just throwing up their hands and saying, we're not going to do anything with the house.
Wow.
We're just going to leave it, and you guys can either try to short sale it or let it foreclose, or, you know, the courts just, they're just not, there's no real remedy out there for anybody. Before, when you had, you know, $100,000 in equity in a house, the other party could buy one out, and everybody could go along and be happy. But it's just not the way it is anymore.
Now, you mentioned something about people can't afford to move, it seems like. So they're in a household. So maybe that's a blessing or not. Maybe people learn to live together.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. It's interesting. Have you seen that? Have you ever had a case where people, someone came in, they go, well, I can't move, but I want to get divorced, but I'll just coexist?
It wasn't my case. I got it afterwards, but I had a lady who was living with her husband. They had a three-story house.
Mm.
And they had a temporary order, which the agreement said that she would live in the third floor, he would live on the middle floor, and they would share the bottom floor. And that happened, I think, for a year or two until they could figure out what to do with the divorce and the house and everything else. But they were, it's like a custody agreement for the house. They had certain times of the day they could be in the kitchen and the bathrooms. And I love the show Big Bang Theory, and it was like a friendship agreement, or, you know, an agreement as to sharing the house. I just thought it was kind of a unique situation.
Well, one couple this did not work for is the movie The War of the Roses.
Yeah.
When Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner ended up, well, actually, they died because they wanted to protect their turf.
Right.
Each one wanted that.
Right.
You remember that movie?
Yeah.
Sort of an interesting movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Sort of a dark comedy, we would call it.
Definitely. That's one way to say.
Yeah, that was really interesting. So, but I would suspect that is an issue. I bet listeners out there right now are saying, yeah, we can't afford to move. We're just sort of coexisting. Maybe it's a good time to try to reconcile. Maybe it's a good time to work something out, but... But nevertheless, it is a problem, and I think it's going to continue for a couple years.
It's a huge issue, especially if you have one spouse that's lost their job. You've got kids that you need to take care of. They're starting to split rooms. One party lives in one room, and you know, the other one lives in the other room. And,
very tough.
Oh, it's difficult. It's very difficult. And they can't get along to begin with. That's the reason why they're headed towards divorce. They can't communicate or talk. That's probably why they're headed for divorce. But that's what they need to do, is sit down and talk. And I always tell clients, can you talk to them? Can you try to work something out?
Yeah.
If you can talk to them and work it out, that'll save you a lot of time and money.
Yeah.
If you can't, that's fine. There are exceptions. You know, if there's domestic violence in the relationship, or violence at all, they need to find a place to go. But, you know, if you can talk to somebody and say, hey, how are we going to work this out? Let's look and see what's best for everybody.
And look long term. I mean,
oh, definitely.
If you look long term and maybe can be friends for the kid's sake, at least. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's the way to go, I suspect, if you can do that.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people that are better friends divorced than they were married.
Yeah, yeah. I think so, too. Now, let me ask you a couple questions. The trend in custody. You know, long ago it seemed like to me, and when I say long ago, maybe 16 to 20 years ago, maybe longer than that, maybe the trend was for the women to get custody. What are you seeing right now? Is there a different trend? I mean, maybe there's more stay-home dads. People lost their jobs. Maybe that has something to do with it. But what do you see with trend of custody issues?
Well, there's always the legal, what the law says is supposed to happen. But I think reality of it is that there was a trend or a tendency for the mother to get the children. But that is no more. I think at least in the last 10 years, the 15 years of my practice, more the last 10 years, the courts are looking at both parents and saying, both parents need to be involved in this child's life. We don't see a mother or a father being a better person to have the children most of the time. Mm. As a matter of fact, I've heard judges say in conferences, we have bench conferences where judges will come tell us generally they start from a position of joint custody, which means they start from the theory that both parents are capable and able to care for this child and ought to have input in the decisions of the child. And then they try to look at the evidence to see if they're going to be swayed from that opinion, whether or not something's going to say one person ought to make all the decisions and the other one not be involved. You know, and I think, you know, 20 years ago, it was maybe not rare, but it was less frequent that a father had full custody and mother was not involved in the child's life. That is not the case much anymore. We're, at least from my perspective, we're seeing a lot of both parents need to be involved. And I'd probably say men are doing much, much better when it comes to the custody issues and getting more say, more involvement in their lives. I don't know if that's because we men are stepping up or the legal system is evolving or what. But
that's a good point. But, I mean, it's hard to say, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, some men, they just take the attitude they want to be the Disneyland dad. And I suppose if that's their choice, that's fine. But but you're not seeing that much anymore.
And that's a problem probably why they got divorced if they were Disneyland dads.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I would suspect. Now, let's clear up a couple things for the listeners out here. Primary custodial parent. Now, why don't you describe that as well as the second part of that question. Can you ever have no primary custodial, straight 50-50?
The answer is yes. Primary custodial parent is one who's designated as for a couple of purposes. Primary custodial parent is the one that you would say, okay, that's the school district where the child will be going to school. They're the primary custodial parent. Or when it comes to benefits from the state or something like that where an address is needed or required, primary custodial parent's the address we look at. But it's very frequent nowadays that parents, there is no primary custodial parent. If you have a joint custody, a primary custodial parent is sometimes designated And the term is a little bit misused because people try to say, I'm the primary, which means they have sole custody, but that's not the case. Primary is some generally non-legally referred to as the one that generally has the kids most of the time.
Gotcha.
or for school. Where are they going to school? For public school purposes, that's the one that they would look to. But that doesn't or isn't supposed to diminish the non-primary custodial parent. But it's frequent nowadays that and 50-50 is kind of a misnomer too, but there is a shared custody arrangement where both parents try to share the children. You'll hear terms like a 5-2-2 split. Somebody will have them 2 days of the week, the other parent has them 2 days, and then they'll have them 5 days. It really is kind of, you get them Monday, Tuesday, I get them Wednesday, Thursday, and we split the weekends.
Mm.
Or week on, week off. Those are kind of really true 50-50 splits. But you have to look at, really, again, what's best for the child and what's going to be beneficial for the child. Sometimes that doesn't work, and frankly, I'm not a big fan of the 5-2-2, but, you know, if parents get along, and I always tell parents, you want to do what's best for your kids, buy a house down the street from your ex. And that way, your kids want to walk down and see you, they can come walk down and see you.
Not a bad idea.
Well, if you're fighting, it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad idea for your kids.
Good point. Now, how about children? When do they have say in the matter? I think at some age they have some type of say in the matter, but why don't you go over that?
Statutorily, children are, their desires are supposed to be taken into consideration. There is no age in the statute or nothing that says at this age we have to listen to the child's desires. When I was in Oklahoma, I remember that their age was 14. Once a child turned 14, they could say where they wanted to live and what they wanted to do. Arizona doesn't have that. So the courts look at when the child is has an appropriate age and maturity in order to make that desire known. So courts have started interviewing children 9, 10.
Really?
They're still pretty young, but they interview them, and they don't necessarily say, where do you want to live? They kind of ask them, you know, in best circumstances, what would you want? Because most kids are, you know, most kids, the first thing they're going to say is they want the parents back together.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, when they start getting into the teenagers, and I've got four kids myself, and when they start getting teenagers, they get their own lives, and they start doing their own thing, and their desires are, there's more weight given to what they want. You know, I've seen and heard judges say that, you know, you got a 16-year-old child here. I can't make them love you. And if they want to live this particular house and not live at that house, there's not a whole lot I can do to change that. It may not be the best, but there are other factors the court has to consider. The desires of the child is only one of many the court considers.
And in custody, I guess everyone's recommended or maybe mandated to go to a custody evaluation with a psychologist, right?
No, not so much anymore.
No.
Those are only in, you know, if you have to request it from the court has to order it. That's something we, you know, psychologists can tell us much better what's psychologically better for families. But, you know, there's an automatic parenting class that's required so the parents can learn to be nice to each other and not talk bad about the other. But in most cases, you don't need that because unless you've got some serious fitness issues, one parent has a drug problem or mental health issues or something like that, custody shouldn't be a difficult proposition in all reality.
That's good to hear. So things have changed, and it might make it a little bit easier to expedite a divorce situation, it sounds like.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there are a few rumors out there. A lot of people come into the office, and sole custody is the big one. And the next is, oh, do I have to go see a psychologist or have an evaluation? Or can we test them? They're nuts. Can we test them? Well, you know, we're probably all a little nuts, to be honest with you.
Yeah, good point.
You know, but is it rise to the level that we can't care for our kids? And it's funny because people come in like, oh, they're nuts. Can't take care of the kids. But, you know, you guys have been married 15 years and you've left the child alone with that person how many times? And now they can't care for the kid?
That's a really good point. Let's take another quick break right now. And when we come back, we'll do the last segment. This is a divorce show starring Joe Collins from Collins and Collins. Collins, a great, I'll just say it 3,000 times, law firm. Family, the focus on the family law is 60-70%. And I've known Joe a long, long time, and I can absolutely vouch for Joe and his brother as well as his dad. Great firm. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Lisa Masters, single mom to two amazing boys on the spectrum and author of The Funny Side of Autism. April 20th marks the first annual Time Went On for Autism benefit at the Compound Grill in Phoenix. It will be a fun night out to benefit the Autism Society Greater Phoenix Chapter. We have a wonderful evening planned, including dinner, entertainment, silent auctions, raffles, and a copy of my latest book, The Funny Side of Autism Around the World. For ticket info, go to the calendar tab at thecompoundgrill.com. Hope to see you there.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
If you're concerned that you are making financial decisions on information that may be incorrect or not up to date, Birnbaum and Spean can help. We are certified QuickBooks advisors. Let us review your financial data to make sure it is accurate and up to date. We can also review the setup and procedures used to avoid the costly decisions as you grow your business. Call Mitchell Spean, CPA and QuickBooks Pro Advisor at 602-266-5633 to get started.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Divorce Show starring Joe Collins from Collins & Collins. And, of course, this is part two of The Divorce Show because every third Tuesday from 2 to 4, we have The Divorce Show. From 2 to 3, it's Dr. Sharon on psychological issues. And from 3 to 4, we have part two with Joe Collins on legal issues, financial issues we'll probably hit, and tax issues in upcoming shows. Very important. And let me ask you, Joe, how important is it to look at the whole picture? I mean, tax issues and financial issues, probably especially financial issues, when you look at a divorce. I mean, that could be devastating.
Well, that's the scariest part for a lot of people is the financial issues, especially how am I going to live? How am I going to make it? Am I going to pay rent, buy food? People walk in the door and they've had this combined income for, you know, a number of years, and now they're on their own. They have to make it by themselves.
So it's a lot different situation, not only financially, but I think the roles. I mean, before maybe you had your spouse do certain things, and now I guess you got to do it yourself now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Being a single parent, I'm sure, is a tougher task than most people want to admit.
Yeah, that is a very tough thing. Now, a couple other issues we want to get into. Our spousal support, called alimony. Now, I suspect in the old days, everyone thought men were paying alimony to women, but I think that's changed, perhaps because women in the workforce and just the current trend of things. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, it's still very common for a mother or a wife to request spousal maintenance because of the disparity in incomes between women and men in the workforce. But I've probably seen a growing number of cases where it's the husband or the man that's asking for spousal maintenance, and the roles are kind of reversed. You've got women in the workforce doing very well for themselves, making good money, making more money than men, and sometimes even in a relationship, the man decides he's going to stay home and care for the family rather than go out and work, which I think is great. But when it comes time for divorce, then they have to take that consideration, and sometimes it's psychologically very difficult for men to ask for spousal maintenance or for a woman to want to pay it. I think it's probably just as bad for a woman to want to pay spousal maintenance as it is for men to want to pay spousal maintenance.
Yeah, I bet.
That's a huge bone of contention for both men. Probably not as much women. I mean, generally speaking, the women I've seen are much better at accepting that than men. But, boy, I tell you, that's a huge issue. I'm not going to pay her a dime in spousal maintenance.
And the judge will make that determination.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, financially, it may be more advantageous to pay spousal maintenance. You can write it off on your taxes.
That's right.
As you know. So,
that's
a client comes in and says he doesn't want to pay spousal maintenance, and you scratch my head a little bit and say, you don't want to take that off your taxes? You know, and they take the spousal maintenance and it's used for child support purposes. So if somebody has zero income and you pay them spousal maintenance, they now have an income for child support purposes. So
that is an interesting point. And what are some of the factors a judge would take in consideration for determining spousal maintenance? I know a few of them, maybe age and health, length of marriage, and those type of things. But what do you see judges really look at carefully?
Well, first of all, what I tell my clients is alimony or spousal maintenance is rehabilitative. It's not like it used to be where you get it forever until you die. The courts want to put spousal maintenance in place long enough for somebody to be able to get back on their feet and have an ability to earn money to support themselves. So, you know, once the court has to determine first whether you qualify for maintenance. So long-term marriage is one to determine whether you help that other person gain an education or start a business or something like that. Contributed to the earning ability of your spouse is one of the factors the court looks at. Once you get a qualification and the judge says, okay, you qualify for maintenance, they have to look at. It's just easy to explain in three different factors. One, whether the one party has an ability to pay and still meet their own needs, whether the other party, what their party's needs are and ability to meet their own needs, and what was the standard of living during the marriage. And that's a huge one, standard of living.
Really?
Oh, yes. If we lived high on the hog, took lots of vacations, had fancy cars, ate out all the time, that's a factor the court's going to look at because they want that spouse to be able to maintain that particular lifestyle, at least for some period of time. While
interesting.
Yeah.
So the moral of the subject here now is watch your standard of living if you're thinking of getting divorced. I mean, maybe, in fact, that could be a cue. If one spouse says, hey, honey, I think we have too lavish a standard of living.
Yeah.
Watch
yeah.
out. You know what? There's some pre-planning going on, maybe.
Oh, and that happens frequently. You don't have a
pre-divorce
planning all the time. People try to situate themselves and position themselves for a divorce.
Really?
Oh, and the other spouse doesn't see it. Then they get served, and they get blindsided with it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So they may... How does that happen? I mean, would they even go to have an attorney to do pre-planning?
They go talk to an attorney, and he tells them everything I'm telling you on the radio, and and they they go and get things organized. They start transferring properties, and, you know, maybe we stop taking vacations. And
really?
Oh, yeah.
Is that like a year before they break the news?
You know, I can't say I've ever seen someone do it a year in advance, but it wouldn't be beyond the realm of belief. Somebody
interesting.
Planning
that could early. Be a reality show.
And sometimes, well, yeah, definitely. And sometimes we have these pre-planning divorce things called prenuptial agreements or postnuptial
yes.
agreements. So, you know, there are people that anticipate
post-nuptial,
a divorce.
What's a postnuptial
Well,
agreement?
After you get married, you can sign an agreement as to what's going to happen when you get divorced. So that's a postnuptial.
You can?
Oh, yeah.
I never heard of that. I've heard of prenuptial. So what's the difference, a prenuptial and postnuptial?
One's before you're married and the other one's after you're married. Really.
So if you forget to do the prenuptial, you have a second chance at life if you get married and you do a postnuptial.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's the short answer is yes. But
is that harder to negotiate after you're married?
Yeah, what's the bargaining chip? I'm not going to marry you.
Exactly. Oh, man. So the key is get to the attorney first, get a prenuptial agreement. Let me ask you about that. Is that big these days? Do you get a lot of clients coming in for prenuptial agreements?
No, not from us.
Yeah.
The problem with prenuptial agreements is Arizona's a community property state. So you have a prenuptial agreement which separates the property of the parties and says this is what's going to happen during marriage, but the court still has to consider, you know, property that's acquired during marriage and whether it's community or not, and they can look at the agreement, but you know, they'll follow it best they can, but you still have to deal with those issues. And the problem you get with a community property state is any work you do in a community property state is considered community property. Your effort is community property. Go out and mow the lawn, you're performing
really?
A community function there. Now, there are some exceptions to that rule. Spending money on your girlfriend isn't a community benefit, so to speak. So,
unless the spouse wants that person out of the house.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
I mean,
they
knows?
Left me alone, so I mean, there is community benefit there.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Well, definitely something we should probably spend a whole hour on alimony and prenuptial agreements.
We should talk about that. What's really interesting to me is this postnuptial. So that only deals with if a divorce happens, how is it divided and all that.
Right. Yeah, you just agree in advance this is what we're going to do.
Wow, and that can happen. Is it usually after you get married or before you get married? Can you put it in the prenuptial agreement?
Well, you can put that in the prenuptial agreement as well.
But a postnuptial is after you're married, and then you thought, by the way, if we do get divorced, this is what happens. How successful are they?
Well, the big key on anything, and if they want to be successful, is disclosure. This is what we know we have. This is what we're going to do, you know, when the divorce happens. So, you know, we want to make sure everybody knows everything, and then nobody can yell foul. You didn't tell me about the house in the Caymans or, or the Swiss bank account or something like that. So if we know about all that stuff, the court's going to say, well, you agreed to it. I need to enforce it. So
that is interesting. So you could, in a postnuptial agreement, say, listen, there's a girl named Sally that may appear someday. I don't know her. I guess you can't do that. No, that would be a bad thing. Wow, I never heard of that. That is so interesting. Now, we only have a couple minutes left. Property and debt division, that may be a whole show in itself. Maybe we'll talk a bit about that next month. However, that's important. And,
oh, yes.
And debt division, I guess community property, I guess you're both responsible ultimately.
All right. Regardless of whose name's on the debt, I always have people say, that credit card's in his name. I said, well, you incurred it during the marriage, and if it was for community benefit, you're responsible for it.
So that's a problem. And even if you agree, one spouse takes it, I suspect the lender or whoever the creditors can still go after the other person.
Yes, and I've seen it happen.
That's tough.
Oh, yes.
Even though it's in the divorce decree.
And yes, and something that can cause a lot of bitter feelings between people.
I believe it. Joe, how do people get in touch with you? This has been so exciting. What's your contact information?
Phone number 602-788-7227 is our office number. We have somebody live answer the phone. We have a website, collinslaw.net, and, you know, email joecollins@collinslaw.net. Give us a call anytime.
Absolutely. What's the number one more time?
602-788-7227.
Excellent. Well, Joe, this has been fabulous. I think this is great information. Every month we're going to be doing this, the third Tuesday from 3 to 4 is part 2 of the Divorce Show, and, of course, 2 to 3 is Dr. Sharon. And I think it's really a complete resource center. I think it's everything anyone ever needs to understand. We will have call-ins. People can ask questions and take this down for next time, 602-296-3632. Joe Collins, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you next month, same time, same station.
Oh, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. We'll see everyone tomorrow on the sports. Breakthrough Sports. Tommy, I almost forgot my own show. Breakthrough Sports. Go Diamondbacks. Go Coyotes tonight. They're in Chicago. And D-backs on a roll. Coyotes, heartbreaking loss last Saturday. However, I think they're going to come back. You know, I'm a big Coyote fan. Go Coyotes. And we'll see everyone tomorrow, 2 to 4, Breakthrough Sports. Have a good night.